Well, I want to thank the Woodrow Wilson Center for having me here today with a very esteemed panel, two people whom I absolutely adore, Rebecca Fishman and Annie Turow, whom I serve on the steering committee of the Frontline Health Workers Coalition with. So it's really terrific to be here. And Linka really set this up really well as in terms of the research, and I'm really going to talk to you very specifically about what it's like to be on the ground and a program that I just visited in Kitui, Kenya, that links water and sanitation and hygiene to maternal and child health, both in the community and the facility. Let's see. So as Linka pointed, So according to the United Nations Development Program, every person should have about between 50 and 100 liters of water a day for drinking, for washing, for cooking, etc. We in the U.S. use about 575 liters a day. And on the continent of Africa, a family, which consists usually of 4 to 6 people, uses about 20 a day, just to put that in context. So Linka certainly put in context the where we are with water and sanitation and that MDGs. I think it's also just really important to, when you think about it, the 2.5 billion people who lack access to basic sanitation, that's 1 in 3 on the globe when you think that we are 7 billion people on this planet. That's a lot of people. So why are we really talking about women and children and WASH? Well, first of all, let me tell you that AMREF, we, the African Medical and Research Foundation, are the largest health development organization based on the continent of Africa. 97% of our staff is African. 90% of them live and work in the communities where they were born. And we work in very rural areas and in urban slums. We do all of our public health work, which is disease, infectious diseases like malaria, HIV, TB, and maternal and child health, reproductive health, water and sanitation, through the lens of women and children. And we do that very specifically because we recognize that women and children are the most vulnerable population in societies. And we also recognize that often it is women who are the agents of change in their community and in their family. So just quickly, what we've seen with regard to water and sanitation is, so for example, in sub-Saharan Africa, every year women and children spend about 40 billion hours collecting water. That means all too often that women in these rural villages and urban slums don't have time to start businesses, which further exacerbates poverty in their communities because they are spending all of their time collecting water. It means that girls in particular miss about half a day of school because they're collecting water. Once they start menstruation, if there aren't separate latrines for boys and girls, girls drop out of school dramatically. I'm going to talk to you today about Kitui, which is a very rural area in Kenya. And it's a semi-arid population, which really means it's really hot. It's hard to imagine that I was there 5 days ago and it was 90 degrees because it's cold now. But it's very hot because it's semi-arid and desert-like. There aren't a lot of trees. Some of the trees that did exist were cut down for fuel, which further exacerbates the climate. And there's very little and scattered rainfall. So the population that AMREF is working with is about 192,000 people. 57% of them live at or below the poverty level, which today we think of as about $1.25 a day. 43% are illiterate. And we know that in these rural communities, 43% is the number, but when you look at women, it's much higher. Before the start of the program, which began in 2011 and will run to about 2016, part of it is sponsored by USAID and other donors, only 28% of any family had access to a water source, not saying it was a clean water source, but they had access to a water source. 37% had access to sanitation. And what we know is that women were traveling up to 5 kilometers a day, walking 2 hours. And once they actually got to the water source, they often had to stand in line for about an hour to get that water, which we're not saying was clean. Again, following what Linka said, 85% of women in the communities were delivering their babies at home. And part of the reason for that is that the health facilities were so far apart, at least 10 kilometers away from where women lived. And their health facilities had no access to water. And women were actually asked to bring their own water, to carry their own water if they were delivering their babies. So and we know that often women in poor communities are having to walk. So you're having to walk 10 kilometers and you're being asked to carry your water. How are you going to do that when you're pregnant? We've just heard about some of the problems with that. And as it says here, only 11% of the health facilities had any kind of access to water. So only 40% of any births were delivered with any kind of skilled health attendant. And we who are on the Frontline Health Workers Coalition know that when you have any skilled health attendant, whether it's a traditional birth attendant or anyone, even at home, the chances of a woman not dying from childbirth are much greater. And only 28% of mothers attended any kind of antenatal visits. Again, when you think about how far the health facilities were, 10 kilometers, you can understand the reason that perhaps it was very difficult for women to go for 4 times to check on their babies when they had to walk there. In terms of water and sanitation hygiene in schools, only less than half of schools were 2 kilometers away from a water source. Toilets, again, very poor condition. No separate latrines for boys and girls, which we know exacerbates girls dropping out, which shows here. These photographs are directly about the program. So the women on the right, on the left, are artisans, and they were trained 10 years ago by AMRAF to repair wells and to build wells, which when they were first trained 10 years ago was quite a scandal because Kitui is a very male-dominated culture, and they were not accepted by their community. Now, today, they're building wells, they're repairing wells, they're called upon by the community, they're very much accepted, but it's taken a long time to challenge societal norms there. But these were remarkable women, and the picture on the right is actually me helping to build that well, and let me tell you, it recalls really strong muscles, which I don't have. And to hear them talk, as I mentioned to you, on any given day, the poverty level is such that you earn about $1.25. These women are earning $100 a month from doing this. And it's some of the work that they're doing is grant-driven. You know, so it's AMREF is giving them projects from some of our grants, but it's also the community. So other communities are now coming to them and saying, can you build a well? And paying. It's not always in money, it can be in kind. So with some of the water work that we're doing, one of the things that we really look at is, number one, it's community-based, which means that if we're paying to build a well or we're paying for a project, about 65% of it we pay for and about 35% of it the community pays for. And that doesn't necessarily mean cash, but it's in kind. So the community is helping. They're digging for when we're doing a well. They are helping on some level. And one of the things that we're really looking at in Kitui is food security and nutrition. Because as I mentioned, it's very bad in terms of rainfall. So we are really looking at linking water and sanitation and food and growing crops. And so there always are gardens around the wells that AMREF is building and working with the community to build them so that there is built in making sure that the communities actually have enough food to eat as well. And that is great for the community, it's certainly great for women and children. And it cuts down on the time that they have to go walking and walking and looking. And also, it makes it easier for them to grow the food because it's right by where they live. In any water project or any sanitation project, it's really great, as I mentioned, to get the community involved and to spread the word. Because and one of the things that we've really tried to do here in Kitui is to work with women volunteers in the community to spread the word about using latrines, to spread the word about washing your hands after you eat, washing your hands after you go to the bathroom. And we've done that both with women talking to other women, and if you look in the background, you get to, in the left-hand picture, you can see some men, but mostly you see a lot of women. And in the right hand, it's through schools. And one of the best ways to spread any message in a community is to do water and sanitation hygiene education in schools, because young people are great at distributing the information to their friends in schools and then outside into the community, and it spreads to their families as well. So this is something that we're really trying to mobilize communities and children. Here's a woman who is herself a community health volunteer. And the left is standing in front of her latrine that she built. She's been a community health volunteer with AMRA for 2 years. And she told me that before she had actually been a community health volunteer, she has 4 children. They were often ill, and she wasn't quite understanding why. Now she has a dish rack where she's learned simple things like, once you do your dishes, don't put them down on the ground. Put them high up and let them drain and let them dry. And this keeps, you know, bacteria and other things away from them. She's making a rope, and this is, they were selling them all over there. This is to tie up some of the animals away from the latrine, away from, she has a kitchen garden as well, away from the garden, away from the food, to keep it sanitary, to keep it healthy. Her children now are in school, 2 of them. She earns enough money now to send 2 of her children away to school. In terms of linking maternal and child health and water, I told you that one of the big problems in this community is that the health facilities are far away, and once you get there, they have no water. So one of the challenges is access, but also utilization for women. And one, we tried to ameliorate that by building a water tank, by having hand washing stations, and by building latrines at 4 different rural health facilities so that we could find a way to get more women to deliver their babies at these health facilities. We also trained the health workers and worked with the district health management teams, who are the local ministers of health, and the women supervisors, or the health worker supervisors. Because the other issue was that sometimes people would show up to be treated for an illness or whatever, and there would be no health worker there. So why would you walk 10 kilometers, show up, and not be treated? This is a community-based health information system, and basically what it is a chalkboard, and it's the community which puts community health volunteers who write the information about how many children are born, how many vaccinated, how many women delivered at health facilities. And this information is actually at the health facility, so it's public information. It also becomes part of the official register at the health facility, and eventually that information goes all the way up to the to Nairobi, to the Minister of Health, and becomes part of the official Minister of Health information for the national level. Again, this is a really great way to get community volunteers and to get the community involved, and to see that by vaccinating your children, it goes on the board. By having your baby delivered here, it goes, and when you don't, it goes on here as well. Who hasn't done it? So just to talk a little bit about the results, they're pretty impressive. By the way, I just want to say that little Joyce, the baby there, usually when I have seen babies being weighed in these things, because they, you know, they have no, you're just kind of sitting there out there, usually the baby starts screaming. Joyce didn't. She was laughing. So that was really great to see. So in terms of access to safe water, so far we've been able to improve from 28 to 82%. Latrine coverage has increased from 37 to 78%. Hygiene, hand washing is with soap is at 87%. The distance having to walk to a primary water source has been reduced fivefold to from 10 to 2 kilometers. Skill deliveries increased from 40 to 65%. 88.5% of children have been fully vaccinated. Mothers who attend at least 4 antenatal visits has increased from 28 to 68%. And the improvement of in nutrition status, the malnutrition has reduced from 5% to 1%. So I think, again, this is all about getting communities involved, getting women involved in their own health, and it shows what you can do when you link both the health facilities to the community. The challenges, some of them are something kind of beyond AMRAF or anybody's control, drought, dried up water sources. We can help rebuild those, but drought is really hard to, you can't do anything about that. Also, the small number of health facilities scattered so far in between. There is a weak referral system in terms of what happens when a woman shows up and she has complications. The health facility, the rural health facility that we visit, only has certain kinds of services that they can provide. If she shows up and she needs to be referred, there is an ambulance, but it's further away, so the ambulance has to come and get her, and it's not always available, so that's an issue. And low male involvement. One of the things I haven't talked a lot about here is how men are very involved in this project. We've been really working to do that. All too often in rural communities, men don't see that they have a role in maternal and child health or reproductive health or water and sanitation. And we've really been working to strengthen that because in male-dominated cultures in particular, you've got to get men involved because they're the decision makers. And the more that they see that having their wives live is better for their family, they want to take their wife to the health facility and so forth. So we want to strengthen further the linkages between water and sanitation and maternal and child health. We want to invest in innovative water conservation systems, and we need to get more men involved. I will just say that this photograph was actually a co-op, a farmer's co-op, and it was really wonderful because it was started by the community. And this, you can't see it, but you might be able to see it. It turns out to be a cassava, which is kind of like a sweet potato. It was about this long. I'd never seen a sweet potato that had grown that big. But it was really wonderful because it was started by the community, and it's growing. And they are, again, getting out of the poverty level. They're earning money. Women are very empowered. They're most of the members, and so it's very exciting work, and thank you very much.